Hello and welcome to the Exvangelical Anti-Devotional Podcast. It's been a while. I say that every single time I do a podcast here lately because it's been a while in between. And if you've listened to my podcast before, you probably know that my mother transitioned from Earth to whatever other realm is out there. Back in April, and the process of grief has been quite a roller coaster, and I've just, you know, tried to let myself flow with it. So I've kind of popped in and out, but it's all good. It's all good. So hi, I still don't have an intro. I'm Malia. I am the midwife, queer midwife, moon maven, mystic, intuition activist here to share my experiences and help folks as they deconstruct religious and patriarchal systems in their lives and help them to reconstruct their intuition and radical self-trust. So I'm going to change the way I'm holding my microphone here so that it won't make weird noises. And, you know, I'm not fancy. I don't record my podcasts in like a soundproof room or anything. So it's very possible that you may hear my cats suddenly get the zoomies, start singing the song of the cat people. That all that could happen during this podcast. And that's just the way we roll. So, I wanted to talk a little bit today about something that's come up for me in my life recently, and this comes up for me from time to time. I think this is a part of the deconstruction process, and it's something you have to continually deconstruct because it just keeps popping up as circumstances pop up. But right now, I'm still kind of trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I'm a coach and I love doing coaching, and I'm going to continue to do some coaching. I work as a birth worker. I'm going to continue that. I work at a birth center in my community, and so I'm going to continue doing that. But as far as like my coaching offerings, my readings and things like that, my books that are coming out soon, I haven't really figured out like what does that look like right now. And I thought I had a vision of that right before my mom passed, and then that just kind of turned everything upside down. And honestly, I went through like another crisis of faith with her death, not a crisis of, oh gosh, do I believe in God? No, not that at all. Believe me, I wondered whether that would happen, and it did not. But what it did do was make me have to confront a lot of really deep, dark places within myself, as well as the nuances of my relationship with my mom over the years. And I didn't expect that to pop up in me. I didn't expect that stuff to rise to the surface. But when it rises, it rises. And you either have to stuff it back down or, you know, deal with it. And the older I get, the harder it gets to stuff things down. And so, or I don't know if it's the older I get, maybe it's the more free I get, the harder it is to stuff things down. So I've had to deal with a lot of those nuances of our relationship. The fact that she was the best grandmother in the world. She was a very loving and nurturing mother. I hear people all the time talk about the trauma that they have from certain things that their mothers do, and those are things that my mother never would have done, and I'm so grateful for that. But there were also, thanks to fundamental Christianity, there were still nuances of our relationship. My mother died not knowing that I'm gay. And maybe she knew and didn't tell me she knew, but it took me a while to really figure it out. So I don't think she knew. And that, I feel some kind of way about that sometimes. So anyway, all of that has brought me in these cycles back to this place of missing certainty. The certainty that fundamental Christianity offered. Now, what do I mean by that? So, fundamental Christianity gives us this really strong picture, this strong illusion of security. Like, everything's black and white. You're told what's right. You're told what's wrong. It's just all there, laid out for you. And honestly, in life, we do better when we kind of know what we're supposed to do. This is why we pay people to take the thinking out of our lives. Like, we pay people to make a diet and an eating plan for us because we don't want to have to sit and figure out, like, what should we eat and that kind of thing. We pay people to prepare the food because we don't want to have to put that mental and physical energy into it. There we go. Told you. There's the cat. Our brain doesn't naturally embrace uncertainty. Our brain likes to be on autopilot, so it loves certainty. And so when we are put into situations where there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknown, it's extremely uncomfortable for most of us. And we do better when we just know what we're supposed to do and when we're supposed to do it. My example is my parking anxiety. Like, I just, I have this thing, I have this parking anxiety in Uptown Charlotte. Like, I am scared to go places because I don't know where to park. I can't really explain to you why I have this anxiety. I haven't always had it, and I've never had any parking trauma that I know of. But before I go uptown to any kind of event or anything, I find out where it is and what the parking situation is. And then I have to call and find out, like, exactly where do I park? Where is the exact address? What do I do? Is it a dirt lot? Is it a parking deck? What's going on? I need to be prepared. I don't want anything to take me by surprise. And then I have to have, like, a backup plan too. So so when I call to find out this information, I'm also going to be like, okay, what if that lot is full? Or what if that thing is full? What's the next best thing? Because what I don't want to do is be driving around in circles trying to find parking, accidentally park somewhere where I get towed. I did get towed from a Starbucks one time. Maybe that's where all this started. I want to know. I want to know exactly what to expect and exactly what to do. That gives me a feeling of security when I know exactly where I'm going and exactly where to park and exactly where I'm going to have to walk to and how many blocks it is and all that. I feel security when I know that. So just tell me what to do. I don't want to just drive uptown and fly by the seat of my pants and figure it out. And that's how we're wired. And what Christianity does for us is tells us exactly where to fucking park. Park right here. No, don't park there. That's a terrible place to park. That's the wrong place to park. That's where the terrible people park. We only park in these lots here. And we only park this certain way. And we make sure that we are on time. And we make sure, that's what fundamental Christianity does, is it gives you a lot of absolutes. It gives you a lot of directives. It gives you a lot of rules. And so that takes a lot of the thinking out of it. There's a phrase in the Bible that says, trust in the, or it's a verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that is the crux of what you do in fundamental Christianity. You abandon your own intuition and your understanding, and you do what you're told. Now, here's the thing. You're being fed this doctrine that you're actually the free thinker and everybody else is the sheep, right? Like, you know, even though Jesus talked about believers being the sheep, but, you know, you have this dynamic where, you know, we're the people who know the truth. Everybody else, all those poor people, they're so lost, right? But really, everybody is thinking and doing similar things. And it becomes very rote. It becomes very ritualistic. It becomes, you know, we're just all doing this and nobody's questioning it. There's no nuance at all. This is what we do. This is how we do it. This is when we do it. And there's a lot of certainty in that. Even if it's toxic, even if it's harmful, even if it's traumatic, it's predictable. And our brain, in order to try to keep us safe, and in order sometimes to survive, especially when we know there's not a way out of it, our brain will find comfort in that predictability, even if it's perpetuating more and more trauma. And that's just how we're wired. That's the human condition. The beautiful thing about us is we are resilient, and that's the whole reason we can deconstruct. That's the whole reason I can deconstruct and not totally lose my goddamn mind. But it's hard. It doesn't come naturally to us, and it's not easy. And so I have these times when I'm trying to decide, what is my calling? What is my purpose in the world? What am I supposed to give to the world right now? You know, in Christianity, there was a formula for, you know, you have a quiet time and you go to God and you read the Bible, and this is how you figure these things out. And then you go to somebody who then either affirms it, or that knows more than you, and they affirm it, or they give you things to think about. You can go to your pastor, you can go, and you have all these predictable scenarios that you enter into to navigate life. And somebody will gladly tell you what to do or what to think or where to go to find the information. But when you walk out of systems like that, when you walk out of a construct that has been constructed, and you walk out into just, you know, a wild free land, uncharted territory, then you have to do all the contending with your thoughts and your feelings. You have to contend with the consequences of your actions. You have to contend with, what if I'm wrong? You have to contend with all of that on your own. And there's nobody there that can say, listen, as long as you do this, you're doing the right thing and it's fine. Because that's what you do in Christianity. In Christianity, it's like, well, it doesn't matter if like 10 people got hurt, as long as you did what the Bible said to do, as long as you did what was the right thing to do, as long as you did what the pastor said to do, your hands are clean. What happens beyond that? That's God. That's God's thing. God's got that. You just have to trust him with that. But when you no longer can shove shit off on God or shove shit off on the devil, and you're just contending with your own being a decent human in the world, sometimes it's not so clear. Sometimes the path it's kind of unsteady. It's like one of those bridges that goes from one, you know, craggy end of a mountain to the other, and it swings in the middle, and you're like, oh shit, like this looks like it should hold, but there's no guarantee. And you know, if you're in the middle of it when it decides not to hold, that's it. You're done. So that's kind of what it feels like sometimes. And so sometimes you want to run back to the certainty of that rock. And, but the thing is, if you stay there, you never grow, you never expand, you never go anywhere else. And I know that, but sometimes I really miss the certainty that fundamental Christianity offered. Fundamental Christianity is full of authority figures that are happy to tell you what to do. But when you are moving in a different way and moving away from religious ways of doing things, then you've got to just go within to your own intuition. That means also doing your own inner work to figure out why you believe the things you do and what beliefs have you perpetuated that have caused harm to others. And this is why if you're deconstructing, if you're truly deconstructing, then you should be, if you're a white person, you should be having a crisis of faith about racism and the contributions you've made to that construct. If you're a male, you should be, in your deconstructing, you should be thinking about and having thoughts about, how have I contributed to toxic masculinity and to patriarchal systems that harmed females? Like, we, all of that comes up when we're taking something apart. The nuances come up. You start realizing that it's not clear cut. I mean, to me, abortion used to be, you stop a beating heart, you're taking a life. It's murder, period. Never really allowing myself to also see the travesty and the cruelty of forced surrogacy. The trauma inflicted upon someone when you convince them to carry a child and then give it to someone else. Those nuances that now that you're a feeling person and you have to just feel your intuitive feelings and all, now those things come up and you've got to deal with the nuances and you can't unsee once you've seen. Once you've stopped leaning not on your own understanding and started leaning into your own intuition and understanding, it's really hard to go back. If you go back, you almost have to double down and become more extreme. And I have seen that happen. But I want to say this. We can learn to sit in uncertainty. We can learn tools to help us navigate uncertainty. I resist those tools all the time. Like, I know if I'll just sit down and pull out a journal and start writing down some of my feelings and thoughts, then I can navigate through something. But I resist and don't even get out my journal and my pen. Because again, my brain kind of just wants to stay on autopilot and not really deal with what's the deep stuff of what's there. And sometimes this process of evolution that happens, the reconstruction, that's what the evolution is, the reconstruction, sometimes, you know, it's beautiful as it is, and it is beautiful, but it's also unknown. I don't know what I'm going to become. I know what I've been. I know where I am right now, but I know this isn't it. This isn't the end of the story. There's more. I'm still deconstructing. I'm still reconstructing. I'm still having revelations and discoveries all the time that blow my fucking mind. How did I not see that before? How have I not seen how I contributed to that? How did I not see how harmful that was? I still have those moments on the regular. And I think a lot of times, like at the end of this journey, what am I doing? Am I still standing? Have I become a guru? I have not become a guru, because that's not my calling. But when you're in the gray areas, when you get away from the black and white thinking, the right and wrong thinking, the one extreme or the other thinking, when you come into that middle ground and you deal with all of, you know, the things that are there, the things that make the area gray, it's a place of uncertainty, and there's just no way around that. But I will tell you this, that the more I allow myself to lean into my own understanding and lean into my intuition and lean into radical self-trust, even if it's just a fleeting moment of radical self-trust and then I fall right back into doubt, even if it's just that moment, that even leaning into that one moment of radical self-trust builds resilience in me. So that the next time I'm in a situation where there's an unknown or there's uncertainty, now my brain does have a frame of reference and an experience to go back to and say, oh, last time we handled this just fine, we'll handle it again just fine. So it does get easier over time. But you really do have to lean into your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own leadings, your own guidance. Sometimes you have to shut out every other voice but your own inner voice. And when I do that, my biggest fear is that I'm wrong. What if I'm fucking wrong? What if I get it wrong? People will laugh at me. I'll be humiliated. I'll hurt people. I'll lose people. My brain tells me all kinds of things based on past experiences. It gives me a whole, you know, multiple choice of what ifs that could happen. But the more I allow myself to navigate the unknown and the experiences where I have less control and that I have to just accept and sometimes even surrender to, the more resilient I become. And this leaning into my own understanding is one of the wildest fucking things I've ever done. And I'm going to do another podcast on what it really means to be wild, because that's really important right now in humanity. But it's the way we enter that wild, unknown place where there is so much strength and possibility. You know, the wildness is just the opposite of domesticated. It's baggage. It's the wild is baggage free, but it's also completely unknown. And the more I get into that place, the more I realize that this is what true freedom is. This is what true fulfillment is. This is what it means to live spiritually on the earth. I don't give a shit right now about any other realm but this one. This is the one that, whether I chose to come here, whether somebody beamed me up here in this body, however the fuck I got here, I'm here. And yes, I do believe I have these unexplained spiritual experiences that I'm drawing from. And whether they're just neurons firing in my mind, or whether there really is a realm we can't see where there's these things working, none of us know, nobody knows, but it doesn't even matter, because this is about what am I contributing to the 3D world that I'm living in now, and how am I making it a better place? And how am I making sure that my evolution brings revolution? And that is worth the uncertainty. The uncertainty is hard and it's difficult, but it's a small price to pay. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Come over to Instagram at Melia Black, MELIEA on Instagram. DM me, follow me, DM me. Let me know your thoughts. I want to hear them. What do you feel about this? If you're deconstructing from religion right now, do you have that same feeling sometimes? Do you sometimes miss that certainty that it offered? Do you sometimes miss just being told what to do? What was right and what was wrong? Or, you know, are you still kind of living in that space? And that's okay. We all deconstruct at our own pace. Or are you just starting to deconstruct and you're terrified? Come on over to my DMs. Let's chat about it. I am available for coaching. I do coaching right now as a day rate on an app called Marco Polo. So you can DM me if you're interested in that. The rates are on my website, MeliaBlack.com. But yeah, mainly come over to Instagram and follow me and watch my videos, read my stories, and find out what I'm about. And hopefully I say or do something that makes you think or brings you comfort or builds resilience. Thank you for listening. Please rate this podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give me a rating. That's how people find me. And please share this with anyone that you believe will benefit from anything that I have said here. But again, thank you for listening to the Exvangelical Anti-Devotional Podcast.